So James 1 and verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That's good advice. Slow to speak. It's good advice too. Slow to wrath. I think that James was a plain-spoken man. I think that he was quite demanding. But nobody has any problem understanding James. When you read through the book, he is persistent. And here's what James says. The new birth brings about new behavior. That's what he says. Now, James chapter 2 talks about faith and works. And there's some controversy, a little bit disagreement as to how that is interpreted. I believe I know what he's saying there, but we're not in that chapter tonight. But James is insistent that if you are saved, it will affect your life in a lot of areas. Very plain spoken. Things like in verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Good verse. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pretty plain, isn't it? Chapter 3 and verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to good, do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you're going to get the flow of James, a little bit like Proverbs. Proverbs is a little bit nicer. James is not as nice, but every statement is just a statement full of wisdom, good advice. Remember a couple of years ago, I was preaching a camp over in Valdosta, Georgia, and a young preacher boy came up to me, and they think you got all kinds of wisdom, so he came up to me, and he asked me for some advice for a young preacher boy. Well, I never can think of anything pithy to say and something clever that you need to write in the back of your mind. I never can think of anything, and so I just blurted out the first thing that came to my mind. And I said, my advice to you is to never get to the place where you don't accept advice. And then I thought about, that's really good advice. That's smart. I wanted to write it down in my own Bible. But if you ever get to the point where you have life mastered and nobody can teach you anything anymore, then that's where you stop growing. You ought to be able to take advice. Hey guys, you ought to even be humble enough to take advice. Well, yeah, even from your wife. Oh, I know that'd be a miracle. But anyway, Have you ever thought how wonderful and how easy your life would be if you followed the advice of the Bible? Because it's full of good advice. And we're all Bible believers, but I don't know if we're all Bible doers. And I promise you, as a believer, that every mistake that you ever made in your life went against something in this book. This book will guide you in every area of life, and it will never lead you astray. So in one verse, James gives three words of advice. It takes 3 seconds to read them. It'll take a lifetime to master them. But there's not a person in this room that wouldn't be richer if you just said, I'm going to live by these three words of advice. Write it down. Here they are. Number one, here's the first word of advice. Tune in. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Be a good listener. Learn to listen. Especially to what God is saying to you. Jesus talked about those who have ears, but they hear not. They're not deaf, but they might as well be, because they're not listening. So, be swift to hear. Now you ought not listen to everything that you hear. Right? Right? Again, in Mark chapter 4, take heed what ye hear. So be careful. Be careful. You don't need to listen to everything that comes along. Right? You certainly don't need to believe everything that you hear. You don't need to listen to every scrap of gossip. You don't need to listen to every worldly philosophy. You don't need to listen to every false doctrine. You don't need to believe everything that's on Facebook. Okay? All right. Some of you think if it's on Facebook, it has to be true. All right? So you don't have to, you don't need to listen to everything. But when James says that we are to be swift to hear, he's saying that we ought to be swift to hear the impulses of the Spirit of God. We ought to be able to, we ought to be swift to hear the Word of God as it speaks to us. And the problem with most of us is that God is speaking, but we're not listening. And so a good word of advice is to listen twice as much as you talk. You have one tongue and two ears. He's trying to tell you something. Develop a discernment to judge what you hear so that you're not tossed about with cunning words. So tune your ears to heaven and listen to what God has to say. Now there's a couple of ways that God speaks. I'll give it to you quickly. First of all, God speaks through the Scriptures. You believe that, don't you? I mean, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions are immutable. So read it to be wise and believe it to be saved and practice it to be holy. Because it contains light to direct you and food to support you and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, it's the pilot's compass, it's the soldier's sword, it's the Christian's charter. It's a mine of wealth. It's a paradise of glory. It's a river of pleasure. Hey, God speaks to you through the Scriptures. And then I say this, and I hope that you don't think that this is an egotistical sub-point, but I will say that sometimes God speaks to you through the sermon. Now you have to understand, I'm not being vain, I'm not being egotistical about this, but I know that God has called me to preach, and God has equipped me to be able to preach, and God has empowered me to be able to preach, and the Bible tells me that I ought to be careful of every word that I preach, because if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So it's incumbent upon me that I be prepared to preach mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I ought to be prepared in every way when I can come and stand in this sacred desk and I preach to you and I open the Bible and say, thus saith the word of the Lord. I ought to be prepared. Wouldn't you agree with that? And if I'm not, you'll be able to tell it. Right? And sometimes I'm not as prepared as often, but I try to be. But it's just as incumbent upon me to be prepared as it is for you to be prepared to listen. Listen, I have as much right to expect you to be prepared as you do expect me to be prepared. I'll help you right now if you promise not to get offended. But sometimes people can sit in church, they can look at the preacher with eyes wide open, fast asleep. Well, some of you are not as subtle, you go ahead and close your eyes. Some of you really aren't subtle, you go ahead and put your head over on the person's shoulder beside of you. Just bring a pillow. I'm not offended. Okay? All right? But listen, some do it with their eyes closed, some do it with their eyes open. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know you go to work and you get off work and you come home and sometimes you've been out there on the roof out there and working all day long and you come in Wednesday night and it's hot and you really don't care what Genesis 5 has to say. But I understand all that. I get that, all right? I'm the same way. Okay? But listen, we have people that have played phone games in church during the preaching. That's why I like these teenagers sitting right here. What are you playing? Oh, I'm kidding. I like to watch. There's something that's under my crawl, and I've got to study to figure out, because I know I'm against it. I know I am, so I've got to figure out how I'm against it. And I don't know nothing about it. You ever heard of Pokemon? Heard of Pokemon? Yeah. Now, Pokemon's old. Pokemon's old. They had Pokemon when I was a kid, and I thought it was stupid back then, all right? I mean, why would you play Pokemon when you read a book? Huh? Or go out into the woods and hunt and fish, okay? Now they have this thing called Pokemon Go. I don't know about Pokemon Go, but there's a kid that walks up and down the street out here. Up and he's tied, he's glued to this thing, and he's up there, and he runs into trucks, and he's playing Pokemon Go. You have to play it while you're walking around, I suppose. I don't know. Some of y'all are laughing because y'all might be playing it. I'm going to preach me a sermon on Pokemon Go. I preached on the Chronicles of Narnia. I preached against the Passion. I preached against C.S. Lewis. I preach against everything that I can. I just know that I'm against Pokemon Go. And I'll find out why. I will. Does it not say something about your heart toward the things of God? Does it not say that you don't have much appetite for the Word of God? You ought to come to church intending to take something away with you. And you may not get something every time. Keep coming. You'll get something eventually. I may not be the smartest guy, but I'll stumble across the truth every once in a while. I'll figure out a verse every now and then. Just keep coming. I like to say that there are others who can preach the gospel better than I, but there are none who can preach a better gospel than I. God speaks through the sermon. And then I say that God speaks through the Spirit. One of the greatest things that a Christian can do, especially a young person, is to develop a daily quiet time with God every day. And that ought to be no problem, but we have Christians, I bet, that have never been able to do just that, because the devil will do everything to fight you from getting alone with God. Be swift to tune in. That's good advice, isn't it? And one of the reasons why we may not be hearing God is because when we meet Him, we're doing all the talking. I mean, you come to God and here's what you say: "Listen, Lord, for Thy servant speaketh." That's backwards, isn't it? You ought to come to God and say, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." Do you like to hold a conversation with somebody that does all the talking? I don't. I real quickly zone out. An egotist is someone who talks about himself so much that you can't talk about yourself. That's what an egotist is. God doesn't like to talk to someone who does all the talking. Sometimes He wants you just to listen. Tune in, be swift. That's good advice. Look at verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Here's the second one: slow to speak. Tune in, tone down. Many things are opened by mistake, but none so frequently as the mouth. And so James' advice is that you ought not talk as much as you are accustomed to talking. Just advice. Never miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Be slow to speak. Think about it first. Just think. A couple of verses, Proverbs 10 and verse 19. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." The more that you talk, the greater mathematical possibility that you say something you shouldn't say. Right? Right? Now that's brilliant right there. You should be writing this stuff down. Proverbs 17 verse 27. "He that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Here's my interpretation or my paraphrase. Better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Because the more a person talks, the more he proclaims his foolishness. Proverbs 21 and verse 23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble." We talk ourselves the most trouble we get. Sure we do. Sure we do. And the best way to stay out of trouble is to keep our mouth shut. Matthew 12 and verse 36, "I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Now some people take that, we should just only be engaged in serious conversation. We should never laugh or joke or jest about it. And so humor and lightheartedness, that is idle words. I don't believe that Jesus is saying that we have to be sourpusses all of our life, and that we can't have some fun and joke around. But He is speaking about non-productive conversation. A conversation that is more hurtful than it is help. It doesn't edify. It doesn't encourage. It doesn't produce anything. So is your speech destructive and damaging, or does it build anything up? And Jesus is not warning against a wise word spoken playfully. He's warning against a foolish word spoken seriously. Every idle word. Most of us would be amazed at how much we just rattle on. And if someone could follow us throughout the day with a tape recorder and just record everything you say and play it back to you at the end of the day, or better yet, let's come in Sunday and let's just play it over the PA system. Let's print in the Sunday paper everything you said last week. I wouldn't want it for me. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Tune in, tone down. Here's the third one. Slow to wrath. Tune in, tone down, sweeten up. Don't be so quick to blow. Control your tongue and your temper. And by the way, if you will be swift to hear and if you will be slow to speak, it will help you to be slow to wrath. Right? When you just don't spout off of the mouth and when you will just listen and you'll just slow down and hold your tongue, then it makes it hard for wrath to work. I've preached on anger already, so I won't preach on it again, at least not much, but I will just say one thing about anger. Be angry for the right reason. Most of us get angry when our toes are stepped on or when we get offended and somebody's already mad tonight about this service because somebody dares tell the truth about us. So if somebody takes our parking place or if they pull out in front of us or if they go slow in the fast lane, that kind of makes me mad. But if they do that, then we get so mad that we can't see straight. Hey, it's interesting that when you read through the Gospels, you find Jesus getting angry. Jesus gets angry on numerous occasions. Did you know that he never got angry when he was personally mistreated? Never did. You go look it up. He never spoke a word against his enemies over something they did to him. Never an angry word when they were nailing him to the cross. Most of our anger is when somebody has wronged us. Jesus got angry when somebody else was wronged. So make sure that you're angry for the right reason. And then secondly, be angry in the right way. You're mad about it, then don't gripe about it. Fix it. Let your anger be part of the solution, not just complaining about the problem. If you're going to raise your voice against it, then raise your hand up to do something about it. Use that energy, use that emotion instead of blowing up. Then do something about what you're angry about. A temper proves that you have a foolish mind. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. A temper proves you have weak character. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Some men are bullies in the home. Yeah. I feel conviction for some reason in here. Some men throwing things around and slapping the kids and driving like a maniac down the road. You think that proves your manliness. It proves your immaturity is what it does. Somebody help me right here. And who knows, it might be Mrs. that has the problem as well. Amen. They're good preaching right here. And what you need to remember is that when you lose control in anger, you open the door to other sins you would not normally commit. Proverbs 29 and verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. You lose control of your anger, I promise you it doesn't stop there. It will open the door to other sins to multiply. You will say things that you will wish 1,000 times that you could take back, but you can't take it back. Men are sitting in prison tonight for something they did in a moment of rage. You say, well, that's just how I am. Then change. Change how you are. Amen. Get on an altar. humble yourself and say, God, this is how I am. I don't want to be this way. I want to be spirit-filled is what I want. Don't want to be controlled by the flesh like this. And don't blame your red hair. It's not because you're Irish. Your flesh. Your flesh is what you are. Say things to your wife or your husband you should say when you're angry. You don't know why? Because that's what's in you. Amen. You want to see what's in a heart? Make them mad. Jostle them a little bit. And whatever comes out, that's what was in the heart. And if you're full of anger, anger will spill out. If you're full of Jesus, Jesus will spill out. Watch a man's reactions. Watch his reactions. You'll see what a man's full of. Good advice. Be swift to hear. Tune in. Slow to speak. Tone down. Slow to wrath. Sweeten up. If you just do those three things right there, probably help your marriage. Might help you on the job. I don't know. James is adamant. When you get saved, God changes you. It's not overnight. The Holy Spirit begins a process of sanctification in your heart. And the goal is to make you like Jesus. And sir, in your marriage, you've got to be like Jesus to your wife. The way that you treat her ought to remind her of Jesus. Ma'am, the way that you submit to your husband as unto the Lord. So what Ephesians 5 says, I'll be like Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Simple words of advice help every person in this room tonight. Every person in this room. Lord, make me like Jesus. Make me like Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Simple words. Lord, sometimes that's what we need. And I pray this morning, pray tonight that You'd help us, Lord. Lord, I'm so full of flesh and carnality. Oh, Lord. I know me. And Lord, the problems that I have, somebody else don't struggle with it. And the thing they have a problem with, I don't struggle with. We're all flesh. We're all children of Adam. I want that flesh to be put down. I want that spirit to come up. I want to walk in the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And here's three areas. Three areas. Lord, I need help on. And I pray that You'd help me tonight. As Your blessing to the Word tonight, I pray in Jesus' name.